Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
In Chicago this week, new crop corn rallied nearly 2 bits. Is the 23-cent rally for real or just a short-term supply fix? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Our panelists today are Tim Young, Ag Target out of Vincennes, Indiana, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Some of our analysts have suggested a shift is taking place in the attitude of the corn market, and this shift might be back to a demand-driven rally. It could have more than just a couple of weeks' worth of legs under it as farmers are tied up in the field and not making deliveries. To the fact that December corn gained more this week than the nearby May contract, give you faith that this might be the case? Are we headed back towards a demand-led rally?
We have seen some basic better bids in some of the domestic processing markets, and that's good news for the marketplace. We did see some good export sales, Todd. I think the verdict is still out, and the government on the last supply-demand report did a wonderful job of destroying the market, both for the export market, in my opinion, and basically some of the feed usage and the carryover demand, and I think everybody kind of relaxed and waited to buy. I think the farmer is waiting for something else to happen. He's basically sold out in pretty good shape. And, of course, the elevator hedger is waiting for better opportunities to move inventory into the marketplace. The problem is I think the verdict is still out on just how much strength the old crop has. I don't think it's a really exciting market at this time.
Paul Cooley, of course, is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities right here in Champaign County. Demand-driven market or back to the weather market?
I don't really think we are moving to a demand-driven market at this point. Demand really in corn is relatively soft. These exports were export sales on Thursday were pretty pathetic, but that's just 1 week. But in general, we're running 150 to 180 million bushels behind target. It's going to be a real Herculean task to even hit the USDA target there. Of course, ethanol is still a $1 million question, but I think we're totally focused on supply at this point. And we've seen how this market can react so violently to just the slightest weather changes or pockets of being too wet and so forth. It's going to be a long growing season for sure.
And speaking of Target, that brings us to Tim Young at Ag Target out of Vincennes, Indiana, for the answer to that question. Tim?
I think as far as the base is concerned, we're just seeing a seasonal move where farmers are basically tide holders. And I think this year with the price rally we've seen since harvest, the farmer sold a good chunk of his inventory early. And I don't think he's going to let go of what he has left unless he sees a very attractive basis, which we have not seen this calendar year. And or we see a substantial rally in late June, early July. I think he's waiting for the Big Bang Theory. So I would have to agree with both Paul and Clayton. I think we're still in a weather-driven market that's very sensitive to for the new crop acreage.
Tim, speaking of acreage, and we'll stay with you on this one, wheat futures and corn futures finished the week like this. In the wheat, the May had a contract, had a high of 498.5 in that contract, July at 468.5 on the low. Rather, let me back that up. I just read those wrong. May had a high of 498.5, the low at 468.5, and the May soft red winter wheat settled at $4.82. They were down 18.5 cents. July futures at 494.75 were off 17.75 from last week. May corn this week, a 386.75 top, a bottom at 352.5, settled 17 cents higher at 381.25. The December futures at 390.5 were up 23. You're down in an area where there's a lot of soft red winter wheat, and it got frozen pretty good around Easter time. The question is, what are they doing with those acres at this point? Might they be tearing them up and putting them back into corn? What do you think, Tim?
There's a good quality of acres that are being destroyed and planted to corn. I do not believe that's going to increase the total corn to that particular farmer. He's just planting the wheat acres because those were some acres that he could get in early, tendency to be a little bit drier. So his rotation is not going to change. But, boy, it's from one roadside to the next. The response you get from the agronomists that are out scouting the wheat fields here, it's just like flip a coin. One field he's saying 50 to 75% damage. You go across the road and he's saying, hey, I think I'd keep this field. So I think we had some people jump the gun on destroying some wheat earlier when the cosmetic burn was on the wheat. And since then, boy, from the roadside, some of this stuff looks really good. But I think the jury's still out. It's going to be early. We're seeing some heads appear as we speak.
You know, as we take a look, Paul, at the numbers in the wheat this week, and we've got a USDA report that's going to try to peg that crop coming up, those who have been out in the hard red winter wheat areas say the crop's better than they expected, makes up for the damages that were done in the soft red winter wheat crop that might not be available, and I think Informa came out with a pretty good size number for all wheat this week. We lost 18.5 cents in the nearby May, July, down 17.75. You want to chalk that up to what's a pretty good sized crop, or are we heading into some harvest pressure fairly early this year?
Well, a couple things. We do know that we think of wheat as a world commodity, and the good thing is that there was enough destruction of the soft wheat and probably the winter wheat crop that this is going to keep wheat from becoming a feed grain like the USDA in their last supply-demand report indicated. I think the other factor here, it is very dry in China, the Ukraine, and some of the weather models have been stingy. In Australia, the European model increased rain for that particular part of the world. I think it's interesting here that wheat, I think, with just a little bit of luck, can still be a pretty dynamic market. And from a trader of that likes to trade corn more than wheat, I'm glad that wheat is a little higher priced commodity. Tim is right. I think there has been a lot of corn being planted in there. I don't really think it's the verdict is still out on the corn acres per se, in my opinion. But they are planting a lot of corn in those acres, particularly those people that didn't have crop insurance.
Tell me about the 23-cent gain this week at the Board of Trade in the December contract for corn.
Definitely the private weather people basically changed the weather forecast to a wetter forecast, and they've kept adding it in, and particularly two areas that seem to show a lot of concern. Definitely I 35 West. The best forecast was basically Kansas City, Fort Dodge to Minneapolis. And some of the people were saying as much as 1 to 3 inches. Our guy that I have the most confidence in says 1 to 2 inches. And then the other place was, of course, the south half of Illinois that seems to be a little bit of a concern. The real concern is those areas out there in the West, you know, May the 10th, 15th is probably starting to get late out there. The arithmetic is that there's still an opportunity to get that planted, the farmers, in my opinion, is that they would love to plant it, but the weather just isn't cooperating.
Is that what you're hearing from your farmers that are in Iowa, Minnesota, parts of Nebraska? Are they not able to get into the field and still standing still? Or as we heard earlier in the week, I think on Monday, maybe it was Wednesday of this week, we heard that indeed they were running.
Well, boy, that's what makes this so hard to wrap your hands around, because it varies so much by area. And it's the case every year, I think. It's just that this year we're walking such a tightrope in terms of what the carryover is going to be. And you know, supplies are so tight that, you know, all those little minor details that before really weren't important are absolutely critical now. So I think to answer your question, it's both. I mean, certainly you've got some areas that in Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska that I talk to people and see online. I mean, there's a number of operations out there done in all three of those states. And yet, no question, you've got some areas that are hit very hard and they're just helplessly standing, you know, by the wayside waiting for it to dry out. So the devil's going to be in the details for sure, and we're just not going to know, you know, as far as any firm number for a long time.
Tim, give me some numbers you think about for the first report next week that's probably pretty important, which is the crop progress report. That's due out on Monday afternoon, and then, of course, we'll have the WASDE number on the 11th of May later in the week, Friday of next week. But on that crop progress report, maybe tell me what you think the numbers are and then give me a range and where you think markets would go given that range.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I threw that in my weekly email. Last year, we were at 70% this coming Monday. Boy, it would really seem tough, even though with all the reports we're getting from areas that's finished and not, to be able to achieve that. The 5 years at 66 and the 20-year average is 49% complete. Even if we can get to that 49% complete, which looks to be tough with the moisture that we've had in this week, I think it's going to put a premium on what Clayton just touched on, ending stocks. And we've got a premium on yield. And I think the hybrids this year is going to have their work cut out for them with the delayed planting. And so it all is going to boil down to what yield can we throw, even if the farmers can get these 90 million acres planted.
Paul, do you think that the trade has accurately assessed on the crop progress side what that 12 million, that extra acreage means in the percentage done, that we've got more acres to plant of corn, which means that we'll have fewer percentage done on a weekly basis than we might normally have? But might they be missing something along the lines?
Well, it was pointed out in one newsletter I read that it's one thing to have a delayed plant, but still the July-August weather is the most important part of the equation, and you know, that goes to me. And the other thing that I want to really share with you is that, yes, the market is going to be surprised on how little the planted acreage is going to be. But my point is that the thing that scares me is that we're basically almost 95% done in Oakland, and some of our friends down in Little Egypt, Southern Illinois, are maybe 40 to 50% done. And, you know, north of Gibson City, it's been a slow week. But what we're finding is in the go areas that the green light was on, the farmers planted. The farmer is really planting a lot more acres of corn acreage into the ground than we even dreamed of.
Yeah,
so we think that if it does dry out in these other areas, there's still going to be a tendency to plant more acres, and that's the big shock in my equation. And I think that, my equation, after being in the commodity business long, farmers basically think alike in Illinois, they think alike in Indiana, and they think alike in Iowa. And the Iowa guys tell me they're really going to plant a lot of acres of corn. And we have seen this big shift, and that's what bothers me a little bit, is that the guys are really going after it, and also they've done it in the South as well.
This is new for you, though. Because
it really is.
Right? You didn't think that they'd get the job done and they wouldn't make that big a switch.
You know, I thought this rotation was really in granite and something, but boy, it's changed. And, has it been crop insurance? Has it been these meetings? Has it been whatever? But maybe the smell of new machinery or whatever, or just income, and, of course, the price is the best fertilizer we have. But it is a monumental change, and boy, it's caught my eye.
Tim, you're far enough south and away from us. Do you feel that type of change in your area?
We planted more corn acres, but I don't think it's to the extent that we've seen that we've heard talk about in Iowa and northern Illinois. We might have got outside the rotation 5 to 7%, but outside that 50-50 rotation, I think we've seen guys stick with the wheat. We had a lot of wheat planted last fall with the wheat price. So I think that's going to be one of the key factors in how much wheat we actually did destroy and whether it all goes to corn and shifts back some of the corn on corn to soybeans. So it's I think the jury's still out there. And I think the premium's going to be on whether we can throw a big yield on to the acres that we will plant, because I think we will plant the 90 million.
May oats this week settled a penny higher at $2.66 a bushel from the soy complex. Nearby May beans at 743 and three quarters on the high, the low at 717 and a half. Their settlement price up 10 and a half cents this week. 733 and a half the settlement. November beans, remember these are weekly changes, Friday to Friday, 776 and a quarter. Rallied 9¾ cents over at the Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle at 97.40 on the high, the low at 91.65. They're a new lead, and they settled at 92.17 and a half. They were all 502 and a half from last week's lead. May feeder cattle at 107.15, up $1.50. May lean hogs at the Merc, 76.10 on the high, the low at 74.60. And their settlement price at $75.25, up 80. May pork bellies at $103.205. That finishes the number out. What do you see in the bean market? Can it stay up with the corn over the next week? It didn't seem to want to rally all that much this week, but managed to be drug along, I suppose.
That's probably a pretty good way to put it. Yeah, I think it was up, what, about 9 cents, like you said, for the week. Yeah, it has kind of been dragged kicking and screaming, and I think that's noteworthy, though. A couple of weeks ago, it seemed like when corn was up on planting delay concerns, beans would go down because the underlying assumption was you're going to get some acres switched and that kind of thing. But it seems like the thought process has changed on that front right now, and in general, unless things really get dire, people seem to believe at this point that the corn acres intended for corn are going to stay with corn. And as such, maybe that's partly why corn and beans are moving in tandem right now. But it's an important week, I think. Meal finally showed a sign of life, maybe trying to show a little bottoming action here, which could be very significant. By the same token, I think bean oil is certainly showing some real signs of topping. So maybe that leaves beans kind of in the middle. I have a real hard time getting friendly on beans, though. I certainly don't think they could ignore some real solid strength in corn. But I think that's what it would take, in my opinion, to run these beans up very much at all.
You know, the bean market's very dynamic, and the fact that we are looking down the road and the carryover definitely seems to be smaller in the future. One of the things that you have to say is late-planted beans don't yield well either.
In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. This is Commodity Week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was a warm and generally dry week across Illinois, despite the threat of rain over the southern two-thirds of the state this week. Temperatures were well above normal this week, with most of Illinois enjoying temperatures 10 to 12 degrees above normal. The warmer weather, along with low dew points and at times breezy conditions, helped start to dry out fields. The only place where rainfall was above normal this week was southwestern Illinois, and rainfall was near to above normal there. The rain in southern Illinois this week was due to a slow-moving upper low-pressure system in the central plains. This area of Illinois has been relatively dry compared to the rest of the state the past 30 days, so the rain is needed there. Conversely, it was a generally dry week across the north-central portions of Illinois, where 2 to 3 inches of rain fell the week before. So it appears nature is trying to even things out a little. High pressure centered over the southeastern United States will keep us in southerly flow next week, which means temperatures should remain a little above normal for this time in May. However, the southerly flow will also bring with it moisture and just about a daily chance for scattered showers or thunderstorms all week. It won't be raining all the time or everywhere, but the wet weather pattern will mean that some areas will probably have a day or two that will not be suitable for field work. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL AM 580. Our panelists today are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and Tim Young of Ag Target out of Vincennes, Indiana. Our guest today is Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading, located in Lafayette, Indiana. Bauer Trading was established in 1984 to serve the producers and speculators of the local area there. But since then, the president of the company, our guest, says his clients have expanded to cover the entire U.S. and Brazil, South America, and encompasses investors of all types. Jim Bauer, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about the world market. Brazil seems to believe, and maybe rightfully so, that China now belongs to it for soybeans. In your mind, how threatened should U.S. corn, soybeans, and let's throw cotton farmers in just for the fun of it, feel about the global sales floor?
Well, I think the dynamic in China is one that's ongoing, and I don't really see too much let up in their demand for increased protein consumption, at least up until 2008, when we get the Olympics out of the way and we get some change of administration here in the United States. There's one area of concern that does very much worry me in the market right now, having watched these currency markets now for about 30 years. We're seeing about $2 trillion pushed over into what we call the carry trades, which means that the Asian investor borrows money at a very, very low rate, 0.25%. The deposits that market electronically overseas into other markets such as Brazil, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand at, say, 5-6% return. And essentially, it's a form of free money in a certain sense. And they've moved about $2.5 trillion over into that particular method of investment. And, of course, nothing in this life is free for extended periods of time. And it's okay as long as the global stock markets keep rallying and everything goes smoothly, but the unexpected can flip that spread around very fast and you'd get an immediate outflow of money towards most likely the dollar, which would rally the dollar, which would panic the stock market, and then we could get into this cycle of liquidation. And, of course, that particular spread, say the euro versus the yen, is at record width, and as I mentioned earlier, there's $2.5 trillion in that carry trade. So that is one market and one aspect of the market I think everybody should be aware of. I've seen this particular element of danger occur in the past. 1998, we had long-term capital management. I got in trouble, pulled a couple of banks down. The New York Federal Reserve had to come and bail them out, and we saw a huge sell-off in the stock market in a very, very short period of time, which also pulled commodity prices down very low. So in general, that's the one thing in this market structure that really is worrying me, and that the unexpected could come in there and flip that particular carry trade.
You know, Paul, I want to stop just for a second there, because this is the third week in a row we've had a guest on Commodity Week who has really been worried about the global marketplace. And Jim, maybe Paul has a question for you. I know he does, but is everybody in this boat that they're worried about the global marketplace and the economy as in general? And what is it that you're seeing, and I know you explained some of it there, Jim, that gives you the idea that there could be a real pitfall in the not-so-distant future? And, Paul, maybe you can address that for me if you have an answer, or maybe you have a question for Jim you'd prefer to ask.
Well, I tell you, the thing that I sense is that right now the world economy is awful darn strong, I don't like paying $3 of gasoline at the tank, and I do get the feeling there's a housing start, and I think there's going to be one or two big large automobile companies that'll go down. But Jim, what's your hunch here about West Lafayette, Indiana, and that very productive area up there as far as percent planted, as far as corn's concerned? And give me some vibes from the tractor cab and the cell telephone of what you're picking up out there.
Well, in Indiana, we're going along at a decent clip, although we've got some areas that are still patchwork, trying to get in, trying to hold back from planting too wet. But I think we're making decent progress. We don't have very many people actually done, like you do over in parts of Illinois. But we're rolling along, and by the end of the weekend, if we don't get too much rain, we're going to make pretty significant progress, particularly in corn planting. The one area that I do see, and I do have some significant customers, is parts of Iowa, where I had a customer call me yesterday. He just pulled out of the field, and he was going up into the barn lot to park for a little bit. He looked back, and he couldn't tell whether he had a John Deere planter or an International planter. It was so covered with mud. And he said it's probably the worst condition of planting that he's had since 1993. And, of course, 1993 was a big problem. And we are seeing the slowest planting rate of pace since 1999. So I do think that that is having some bearing, obviously, on the action that we've seen this week in the corn. The corn's putting in some premium just in case those key states of Iowa and parts of Nebraska and parts of Illinois can't get into the field pretty soon. And so next Monday's forecast on the extended will be very, very important because, as you just mentioned and the other participants have mentioned, we do need to get this corn crop in the ground and just see where we're at from that point on.
Jim, touching base a little bit with the first subject you were talking about, with the carry trade and all that, how would you see that interacting with the index fund interest in grains and so forth? Would you go so far as to say that maybe that is at or near at least a short-term peak in terms of money devoted to commodities?
Well, I have a term that I use and I like. I call it agflation, and I think, as somebody mentioned, the world economies are very, very strong, at least on the surface, and there does seem to be reasonably good demand led for U.S. products, although, as they mentioned, the freight rates or the ocean freight rates have really risen to the point where we are starting to slow down these exports, and that is a little bit worrisome. As we know, the funds got pretty heavily long right after the first of the year, excessively long, and we've seen a pretty substantial liquidation down there in their numbers. So I think that aspect of the market has been cleaned up a little bit. I do think, as opposed to maybe some of the earlier comment, the one market where I think is kind of a sleeper market in the next 6 months to 2 years will be the soybean market, in that I can make a case pretty strong. If we stay with this 8.38 million less soybean acres that the government said on the March 30th crop report, and of course that's up for a little bit of debate, but let's just stay with 8.38 million less acres. If we just drop that yield factor due to whatever set of conditions, whether it's very, very late planting or we get into trouble in July and August during the more critical time frame, if we drop that yield down to about 39 bushel per acre, we're left with an extraordinarily low carryout going out into 08. So I do think the soybean market may have a little bit more dynamic in the extended outlook than most people think. And I know I've really been working these supply-demand tables to try to get these numbers so that I'm not guessing. I like doing the numbers. And granted, if we have a 41.5 BPA and we have the same acres and we have a nice yield and no problems, we come in with a carryout around 321. But again, if you drop it just 2.5 bushel per acre off that trend line, all of a sudden, because of the reduced acreage and a relatively positive biodiesel outlook that's occurring all over the world, that soybean market could come explosive sometime between, let's say, the next 6 months to 2 years out. I'm trying to tell my people to try to hold on to soybeans out into 08 in whatever way, shape, or form they can do it.
Jim, we appreciate you being with us. Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. We're out of time for the day. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.